reading the briefs, it seems as though your principal argument is that same-sex and opposite-sex couples are not similarly situated because opposite-sex couples can procreate, same-sex couples cannot, and the state's principal interest in marriage is in regulating procreation. Is that basically correct?
Your Honor, that's the essential thrust of our position, yes.
Is there, so you have sort of a reason for not including same-sex couples. Is there any reason that you have for excluding them? In other words, you're saying, well, if we allow same-sex couples to marry, it doesn't serve the state's interest. But do you go further and say that it harms any state interest?
Your Honor, we go further in the sense that it is reasonable to be very concerned that redefining marriage to as a genderless institution could well lead over time to harms to that institution and to the interests that society has always used that institution to address. But,
well,
Your
can
Honor,
you explain that a little bit to me, just because I did not pick this up in your briefs. What harm you see happening, and when and how, and what harm to the institution of marriage or to opposite-sex couples? How does this cause and effect work?
Once again, I would reiterate that we don't believe that's the correct legal question before the court, and that the correct question is whether or not redefining marriage to include same-sex couples would advance the interests of marriage as it
was. Well, then are you conceding the point that there is no harm or denigration to traditional opposite-sex marriage couples? So
no,
you're conceding that?
No, Your Honor, no. I'm not conceding that.
Well,
I've got two answers.
It seems to me that you should have to address Justice Kagan's question.
Thank you, Justice Kennedy. I have 2 points to make on that. The first one is this. The plaintiff's expert acknowledged that redefining marriage will have real-world consequences, and that it is impossible for anyone to foresee the future accurately enough to know exactly what those real-world consequences would be. And among those real-world consequences, Your Honor, we would suggest are adverse consequences. But consider the California voter in 2008 in the ballot booth with the question before her whether or not this age-old bedrock social institution should be fundamentally redefined, and knowing that there's no way that she or anyone else could possibly know what the long-term implications of a profound redefinition of a bedrock social institution would be. That is reason enough, Your Honor. That would hardly be irrational for that voter to say, I believe that this experiment, which is now only barely 4 years old, even in Massachusetts, the oldest state that is conducting it, to say, I think it better for California to hit the pause button and await additional information from the jurisdictions where this experiment is still maturing.
Now, what happens to your argument about the institution of marriage as a tool towards procreation, given the fact that in California, too, couples that aren't gay but can't have children get married all the time?
Yes, Your Honor. The concern is that redefining marriage as a genderless institution will sever its abiding connection to its historic, traditional, procreative purposes, and it will refocus the purpose of marriage and the definition of marriage away from the raising of children and to the emotional needs and desires of adult couples.
The case that's before you today is whether or not California can take a class of individuals based upon their characteristics, their distinguishing characteristics, remove from them the right of privacy, liberty, association, spirituality, and identity that marriage gives them. It is not an answer to say procreation or anything of that nature, because procreation is not a part of the right to get
married. Mr. Olson, is that really
that's the broad argument that that's in this case, if the court wants to reach it. The rationale of the Ninth Circuit was much more narrow. It basically said that California, which has been more generous, more open to protecting same-sex couples than almost any state in the Union, just didn't go far enough and is being penalized for not going far enough. That's a very odd rationale on which to sustain this.
It's just about the label in this case.
The label is
like same-sex couples have every other right. It's just about the label.
The label marriage means something, even our opponents.
Sure. If you tell a child that somebody has to be their friend, I suppose you can force the child to say, this is my friend, but it changes the definition of what it means to be a friend. And that's, it seems to me, what supporters of Proposition 8 are saying here. All you're interested in is the label, and you insist on changing the definition of the label.
It is like you were to say you can vote, you can travel, but you may not be a citizen. There are certain labels in this country that are very, very critical. You could have said in the Loving case, you can't get married, but you can have an interracial union. Everyone would know that that was wrong. The marriage has a status, recognition,